So just when barcodes are scanned over 10 billion times per day.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jared, and welcome back to The Secret Life of Inventory, a show where we talk about all things inventory. And today we're going to be talking about standardization and specifically its role in inventory management and supply chain logistics. And today is a very special episode because we are going to be talking with our very first guest on the podcast. And since we're talking about standardization, who better to talk to than the Director of Global Standards at GS1 US, Jonathan Gregory. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jared. It's great to be here. Thanks.
So I know that you're an award-winning producer of RFID-based solutions in the retail and aerospace industries. Can you share a bit more about like yourself and how long you've been working in this space for?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Jared. So I've been working for GS1 US for the last 5 years. Before that, 13 years of experience deploying RFID solutions in the aerospace and in the retail environment. And then before that, another decade experience, including deploying the largest ERP system of its kind in the world as well. So I had this dream job. I get to deal with the RFID technology and global standards and enable commerce to run more smoothly.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we've been hearing a ton about RFID stuff. Obviously, we work in the inventory space, so it comes up a lot. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this today. So why don't we just start off with the basics here? For the uninitiated in the audience, can you maybe get into who GS1 is and what they do?
Yeah, so GS1 is a not-for-profit organization, GS1 US. There are over 110 other country-specific GS1 organizations around the globe. And these organizations serve industry commerce by providing these technical standards that technological societies require. So we are very much mission-driven to provide these standards and share this information about these standards that are really foundational. GS1 is popularly known for the UPC barcode, which has been around for about 50 years.
So why don't you talk about like why standardization is so crucial when it comes to logistics and inventory management?
Yeah, so standardization enables business agility. It allows you to pivot when you need to or want to. And standards work best when you don't notice them. They're kind of like you get up in the morning and you get a bowl, right? And you pour some, you know, Cheerios into it or what have you. And you do the work of eating that cereal without really thinking about the container, if you will. Standards are like that. And the reason why I mentioned that is that when I got this job, they told me I'd have to talk about serialization. So that was my joke, right? So you can stand up, so you can stand up new business relationships more easily and minimize barriers by following standards. The other thing is that solution partners can build a solution that's standard compliant instead of building something that's custom for every customer, if you will. And it also enables businesses to have the freedom of a marketplace of solutions if they're using standards. The other thing I'll mention is that GS1 standards are cross-industry, so they flow. So you can be in one industry, you can be in a grocery store and have a UPC barcode or have a certain identification mechanism for a product that is also in another venue, if you will. And so these products can span industries and across the entirety of the globe, as I talked about.
So what about the GS1 forum this year? I know you guys have a global forum every year. I believe this year it was in Brussels.
Yeah.
How did that go? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It just wrapped up yesterday. Over 2,500 participants from 110
oh, wow.
countries. Yeah, so
that's
really
insane. Okay.
It's amazing. It really highlights this global footprint. And there's really a unity of purpose and yet a diversity of engagement approaches dealing with these specific needs. So like there are some summaries that came out of different geographical groupings. So Jan Summers from Europe, you know, the head of GS1 in Europe, talked about trusted identifiers, meaning the identifiers being product identifiers and trusted data. And he talked about this tsunami of legislation in reference to the digital product passport coming in from the European Union, right? And then Anna Lin from GS1 Hong Kong, speaking of the Asia Pac area, she talked about product data quality, right, as it relates to ESG and traceability and anti-counterfeiting, which you can see those synergies there. And she also announced like a new Asia-Pac collaborative organization focused on cross-border trade. Rafael Flores from GS1 Colombia spoke of the Latin America perspective, building on those prior topics, but also talking about data quality, global registries that would provide product data. Ahmed El Kala from GS1 Egypt talked about Middle East and Africa, about a healthcare focus, right? And so the need to be able to share digital access to native language information about pharmaceuticals, right, as well as online marketplaces. And then finally, just to round it off, Juan Carlos Molina from GS1 Mexico spoke of the ESG regulations and small business resources, and all of these things aligned. And I went through a lot of things there, but just to boil it down, we see a growth in ESG regulations, traceability requirements, and so there's a pivot towards more government alignment, a stronger focus on data quality, traceability, a focus on cross-border trade enablement, and movement really to that 2D barcode at a global level for products.
Wow. It sounds like you guys have a lot of different minds from all over the world, which is really great to see those different perspectives. This happens every single year?
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So the viewers who are, you know, listening, mark your calendars, head on over if you're interested next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why don't we move into something that GS1 is really known for, that something that you've talked about, the UPCs, the barcode. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about Sunrise 2027 as far as, you know, GS1's transition from 1D into 2D barcodes?
Absolutely. Now, so GS1 barcodes are scanned over 10 billion times per day. That's more than hits go to the Google page, right? That's about 8.5 billion, right? And so that's really indicative of like the volume of this thing that's occurring in the background, right? And so these barcodes convey product information, they'll convey shipment information or other types of categories of information. And of course, they enable this automated data capture that is mistake-proof, right? And it's really the backbone of logistics and inventory management. Now, GS1 standards are broken into the categories of identification, capture, and share. So the barcode is really the capture layer, one of several technologies, another technology being RFID, for capturing data, identity data, if you will. And in the parlance of GS1 communication, there's the term application identifiers. And what that refers to is like this language of core elements, such as a batch or lot, or an expiration date or something like that. Those would be these application identifiers, giving this common language for business. And if we think about when we, speaking strictly about barcodes, when we put that data onto a product, when a manufacturer encodes that data into a barcode, it's almost like a blockchain in my mind, almost like because there's this immutable physical label that cannot be altered, that's created at the point of manufacture and accompanies the product. So whoever's in front of that product gets this core information, if you will. So GS1's transition is transitioning from 1D barcodes to 2D barcodes. Why is that? Because there's a demand for more data, right? More than just a product identity, but additional information. And so Sunrise 2027 is about enabling the point of sale scanning of 2D barcodes. And it starts with that scanning capability. Just the very, very first step is saying, all right, I have a 2D barcode. Will it still beep at checkout like a 1D? Yes, right? And so that's the first step. But then you expand upon that and you add that those rich sets of data. So for example, when you go to a grocery store and you want to buy something, let's say it's out of date or it's recalled, the grocery store scanner will say, you can't buy this, right? It'll stop you from buying something that would be dangerous to you or that you shouldn't get, right? And so encoding that information into the 2D barcode offers not only that, but a whole wide variety of use cases, right? So now I can connect to the web. So I could have a QR code on a product. I use it at point of sale. I use it, let's say there's a recall alert, and I can go to my refrigerator and scan it with my phone and say, hey, is this being recalled?
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
So this is going to be for the consumer as well. Like they'll be able to scan these and glean a ton of information.
It's totally amazing, Jared, where we're going with regards to the relationship between consumers and their products. And that's just the excitement of moving into this. It's a technology that's been there for a while, 2D barcodes, right? But connecting that in a systemic way, serializing products and connecting consumers to rich experiences is really a tremendous step forward. Yeah, and there are different examples I could cite as well. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we've been talking a little bit about RFIDs. Do you want to talk maybe a little bit more about them? And like, I don't want to say they're going to replace barcodes, but I'm kind of wondering, are they going to replace barcodes one day? Is that the kind of the future we're looking at? Is it going to be Sunrise 2030, where it's going to be RFIDs only?
I don't think so. I think RFID is a complementary technology to barcodes. I think that it's interesting with 2D barcodes coming in, you can have the same data that an RFID tag produces and shares encoded in the 2D barcode. And so that's just more synergy. So for those in your audience who aren't familiar with RFID, it's a non-light of sight technology. So all you have to do is get close to an RFID tag, say 5 or 10 or 15 or maybe, you know, maybe longer, but about that distance in feet from an RFID tag to a reader, and you read it. You read it automatically, you read it quickly. And so, for example, let's say I have a pallet of cases of beef that's coming into a distribution center. And right now, the distribution center says, okay, we have to depalletize just to barcode scan each barcode that's on each pallet because we need to pull, for example, the net weight because that's critical to the pricing and billing and inventory management. And so all that labor effort is spent depalletizing just to barcode scan those items, and then they repalletize. Right. Well, with RFID, you don't need that line of sight. You can simply read the content there without having to touch or physically move that. And so you think about healthcare examples. There are some awfully expensive and delicate items in the healthcare supply chain and in hospitals. And you really don't want to have to touch those things, even to manipulate them to do a barcode scan or something like that. Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. One major healthcare product distributor, in compliance with the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, estimates that it would cost them hundreds of employees to do barcode scanning of received items in compliance with the DSCSA. There are ongoing pilots with, the Axia Institute to look at, okay, let's use this non-line of sight technology for that. Yeah. I could also, just a couple other things like FSMA Rule 204. Similar stories there, right? As far as the requirement for food service industry participants to provide product traceability data as well in the event of a recall, or apparel and general merchandise, claims compliance is a huge topic. Where, okay, did I ship this to you? Yes, I did. Nope, no, I didn't. Right? This dispute over what was actually shipped, where this RFID can be a very helpful insight into what was really shipped and provide that visibility data. So in summary, RFID tells you where everything is, so you have the right product at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, that's really exciting technology. So we got 2D barcode, the RFIDs. What other technologies are we seeing kind of emerging in this space? Like, what does the future look like?
Yeah. So I'll just make the point that the existing technology in many ways is an early deployment. I kind of said that earlier, but the realization of the scale to come is really going to be almost like a new technology in and of itself, right?
Oh, okay. Right,
if you will. But building on that, though, answering your question, like there is, for example, the deployment of end-to-end visibility. So UPS has shared that they're building out presently visibility of items, of shipments from one end to the other of their distribution network. Right. And the impact of that on authenticity, tracking, visibility, claims compliance, those are all amazing things. But building on that, beyond UPS, if you will, the sensor integration. So having cold chain applications and whatnot, or sensor fusion, combining, say, RFID with vision systems is another nascent element. And again, that relationship between people and products changing, both with 2D consumer engagement, but more use cases, you know, circularity, or, you know, say I want to resell a luxury good, or NFTs and whatnot. And certainly at the end of the day, the structured data that we leverage, if we're following standards, we allow ourselves to have structured data, and that can be consumed much more easily by AI, right? And so GS1 recently published a white paper on generative AI as well.
You mentioned AI, so I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit more because I know AI is kind of the hot topic recently. It's kind of cascading through every industry is being somewhat affected by it. And I was wondering if, you know, the logistics and inventory management, specifically, you know, GS1 and standardization, have they adopted any sort of AI into their, you know, into their workflows?
I mean, the concepts there is that AI is intended to extend people's capabilities, if you will. There's something called the O-ring effect from kind of the early days of AI. They've talked about the ability of AI to kind of highlight, hey, buddy, did you see this here? This is interesting. Oh, that's a good point. You know, like the ability to ingest massive amounts of data and provide maybe elemental, maybe wrong, but oftentimes helpful cues or directives, right? And so that's one element of it. And AI is a really big umbrella term that it does have these unique disciplines within it. But from an inventory visibility data perspective, when we move to serialization, now we have so much more rich information. We go from, hey, I have 100 of this product to here these specific 100 identities of each one of these items, and I can see more clearly what their journey is, what's happening with them. Holy cow, that's incredible depth of data that AI can leverage for better predictive ordering or understanding what's happening. The other thing I'll say is consumer personalization, being able to ingest lots of data and draw inferences to drive consumer personalization is a strong element. And you see AI and, you know, like I said, it's a broad umbrella. So you see it from, you know, specific capabilities such as AI-driven RFID tag design to, you know, just walk out solutions that are out there.
Right, right. What about the computer vision? I know that there's been a little bit of push for computer vision and AI as far as, I know Amazon implemented some of that in their warehouses to help with their inventory. Is that being kind of implemented more widely or is that more of a niche?
You know, it's interesting because the GS1 standards include product images as well, right? And so, so we've seen vendors who, they have the burden of training their AI vision systems for, I don't want to call it a burden, but they have the responsibility to say, okay, I'm going to have this object, this new product, and I'm going to now train my AI vision system to recognize what it is. But building the bridge between the imagery and the product attributable information, right? Who made this product or what's its journey or whatnot. So those things we see connecting and leveraging. The other thing about GS1 standards, they include things like, you know, product dimensions, right? Which again is helpful for AI vision systems and other sensor-based systems. So images, dimensions, weights, and then the world of application identifiers that are out there are all helpful inputs to AI.
Great, yeah. So, I mean, what about for newcomers, smaller, medium-sized businesses, how can they start like implemented standard practices in their kind of organization?
Yeah, it starts simply by using standards to identify your products. So going to the gs1us.org website or talking to our team, we have a call center as well that helps a large number of people on a regular basis move into this world of having standardized product identity. And that's really the starting point. What that entails is licensing a GS1 company prefix, which gives you this globally unique value that is this prefix to your product identity. And with that, you have an array of capabilities, array of identifiers that you then enter into this system of standards. And so, for example, one element of it is you can provide product master data through the verified by GS1 service. The other thing I would say is, as people are considering moving into this, think about the value add of rich product data. How could their products be connected more closely with consumers? How can they make that relationship happen? Because really, there's a huge step change in being able to create a real-time relationship and even update your brand messaging in real time.
Great, wow. And can you like maybe enlighten the viewers a little bit more about, you know, GS1's role, you know, how they actually promote the standardization, how they actually get people to hop on board?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. That's my full-time job. So talk about that.
So we came to the right person.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So what we do a lot of things. So one thing we do is we run work groups, right? So we will say we will be driven by industry leadership through executive leadership committees to say, okay, we have this need in industry, this regulation or this new technology, this emerging set of use cases. We need to understand how is industry going to align and address these new needs, if you will. So we convene work groups and we produce guidelines. And these guidelines are available to everybody And they're able to see, okay, here's the orientation of what I need to know, and here's how I go about accomplishing these specific needs. The other thing we have is discussion groups. So they don't produce guidelines. They're more about like community forums. So I host a cross-industry RFID discussion group. It meets quarterly, and we bring in industry leaders with first-person experiences with RFID technology. So we've had, Johnson & Johnson and McDonald's and Walmart and Decathlon and a number of organizations have come in and talked about their RFID programs, for example. And that's really helpful to be able to see, oh, this other industry or this other participant in my industry is doing these things. We also participate in various pilots, and we document things in the form of case studies, to name a few of the things that we do.
So I'd love to know a little more about, what are the major benefits of being GS1 compliant, and, why should businesses really be striving for this?
Yeah, you get access to a wide array of distribution channels. Right. So, for example, a retail apparel, vertically integrated retail apparel organization might mistakenly, in my opinion, use a proprietary number to identify their products. But as soon as they want to go wholesale or they want to sell through another distribution channel, they have a problem because they didn't follow standards for the product identity. And so now they have to go back and change their systems and roll back and create all this rework. So it's really that business agility. I'm thinking of a case study with Decathlon. We're talking about during the pandemic. They were selling products in gas stations because everything else was closed. And they were able to do that because they followed standards. They followed GS1 standards. And there was a seamless experience of, I sell other products, UPC barcodes, the data behind them and whatnot. I'm just bringing in more products, right? And so there wasn't a need to customize or create special rules because the standards were followed, if you will. So I think that's top of mind. That's the top reason. The other thing is, there's all of this energy put into developing solutions that are standards compliant. And when you look down the road of the future of other use cases that are happening, we're not sure exactly what will be coming, but we know that the innovation will center around standards as well. So you're really future-proofing your organization. I kind of liken it to a path, I do a little bit of hiking. So liken it to a path, you have the freedom to go off the path, but you don't have the community that goes on the path. You don't have the infrastructure, resources, say a lean-to or a hut or what have you. And you might get lost, right? And so you have the freedom to go off the path, but you lose out on kind of this infrastructure that's readily available.
Great, yeah. Do you have any advice for businesses looking to adhere to industry standards?
Yeah, I would say, take this seriously. Look early when you're, building out product identity, for example. I've made that point. You don't want to have that unnecessary rework. I would say check out gs1us.org, especially in the certain industry verticals that you can check out in case studies, and you can certainly contact us. There's also the Next Level Supply Chain podcast that can be made available. And finally, we have in the U.S. the GS1 Connect conference. It's every June this year. It's going to be in Orlando. It is a fantastic conference that you will learn a ton at. So definitely check that out as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You've been very insightful. It's been great to learn more about RFIDs, barcodes, just standardization in general. Is there anything else that you want to add? Have we missed anything?
I'll just add that, of course, GS1 standards are voluntary, not mandatory, and that your audience can visit www.gs1us.org or can follow us on our YouTube channel at GS1US Videos to learn more. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
And that is a wrap on the episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. And a big thank you to Jonathan for joining us as well from GS1. It was awesome to talk to him about all the great things that are happening over at GS1. Hopefully we'll be able to have him on the podcast again to learn more. If you like this episode, please like, comment, subscribe, do all the things, share, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.